Today we have the great joy of celebrating the saint that I've told you about many, many times in the homilies, Saint Teresa of Avila. She is the master of prayer in the church. So if you're really serious about wanting to grow in the spiritual life, this is the person to turn to, especially for women, because what she did, everything that she wrote under obedience. But what she decided to do to be able to make this the best way she could do it is she wrote to her nuns. So St. Teresa is the reformer of the Carmelites, so she started the discalced Carmelites. And the nuns who had joined her in those early days, that's who she was writing to. So it's written by a woman for women in a particular way, but obviously it's for everybody. Just women will understand it a little bit more easily because it's taken from that feminine approach. But nonetheless, St. Teresa, and well, when you read her, she's a blast to read. If you know Spanish, they say that, I mean, translation just doesn't do it justice. But nonetheless, whatever comes into her head comes out her pen. She is all over the map. There is nothing systematic. It's not like reading St. John of the Cross where it is boom, 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 boom. St. Teresa is just all over the place. And yet at the same time, she might go on 20-page tangents, and then she'll come back and say, now where was I? And she'll just pick up where she left off. And so she's fun. But she is very, very clear. Now there are three volumes of her works, but her most important works are her autobiography, her life, which was written earlier on. She's probably in about the fourth mansion, as she would call it. And then the Way of Perfection she wrote when she was in the fifth mansion. And then Interior Castles is her most famous book. And that was written when she had achieved perfection, which would be the seventh mansion. And if we just take a look at that one, so what she does is she rather quickly goes through the first five mansions because she covered that in the Way of Perfection. So if you're going to read her, make sure that you read the Way of Perfection first so that you see more in more detail what she's talking about. And then she covers the sixth and seventh of the mansions in more detail than in the Interior Castles because she hadn't covered those before. So the way to understand this, it's first of all based on the fact that our Lord said in his Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many rooms, or many castles, however you want to put it. And we have to be careful in how we understand this. What she's doing is looking at your soul. And if you think of the soul like a huge glass globe, think of it that way, okay? And it has seven layers moving into the middle. All around each layer are different rooms or different mansions, however you want to put it. And so in that one layer where you're at, you can go in and out of any of these rooms, but you can't get to the next level. And if you think about it as a house, you can go in all the rooms on the first floor, but you have to go up the stairs to get to the second floor, then you can go through any of the rooms there, and so on. Well, this is just going deeper and deeper and deeper. God dwells in the seventh of the mansions. And so at the very center, the heart of your soul, that's where you're going to find God. And the light that comes out from there enlightens everything else, but as light dissipates, as it gets further away, in the first of the mansions, there isn't a lot of light. It's pretty dark. But as you move closer and closer, the light keeps getting brighter. And as that light gets brighter, you have to be more purified to be able to deal with things. And so each time you move to the next level, go up the stairs, if you think of it that way, to the next story, then you start working through all the rooms on that level. Then you can make your way to the next level. And so she lays all this out and what to expect and how things are going to work and so on. And so it's important to understand if you want to be serious about the prayer life. And just to highlight that point, As she herself said, if you don't pray, you don't need a demon to take you to hell. You do it yourself. I mean, that's how serious she is about the prayer life. And so she wants everybody to pray, and it's exactly what we heard in the readings, that if someone has their own ideas about what they're doing, yeah, then they're writing for their own sake. But if they're doing it for the honor of someone else, they're not looking for anything for themselves. That's where she's at. This is what God has given her, even to the point in the interior castles, and she's started a whole number of monasteries at this point, busy as can be. She's put under obedience to write all this down, and so it's in her spare time. She never went back to reread what she wrote. She would just pick it up, and it might be weeks between when she had an opportunity to write something, and she would just start writing. And it's perfectly coherent, and it all follows. No one can explain exactly how she did it, because she did it all in just a few months. And again, she didn't have a computer. She was doing this with a pen in her hand. And so she would sit on the floor and sit there and write and put all this stuff together. But at that point, again, she was at the point of perfection. And so God could work through her in an extraordinary way at that point, which is exactly what he did. And so to this day, for 500 years, there is nothing that is even close to what it is that she wrote. And so it is the essence of prayer. This is, if you really want to understand the spiritual life, and, of course, the other part of that, as she points out in the book of her life, said, until this happens to you, you won't understand it. So there's that part. So you can at least have some understanding in general, but until it actually happens, till you get to that point, you won't really understand what she's saying fully, but at least you can have a map. You can understand where you're going, and as you work things through, then you can always have reference back. And along with that, St. John of the Cross is the one who started the male part of the Discalced Carmelites, along with St. Teresa, and his writing is very systematic. So when things come up, you can look it up in St. John of the Cross, because obviously he's using what St. Teresa was putting out, as well as his own experience. And so between the two of them, this is the highest stuff in prayer that we have in the church. So I cannot recommend them highly enough to you. It doesn't matter what spirituality you follow, because as someone pointed out who was looking at comparative spiritualities, we're all going up the same mountain. The mountain is Jesus Christ, but there are lots of different paths up the mountain. One path goes round and round and round, one zigzags up and down. This way goes straight up the cliff. It's the quickest, it's the shortest way, but it's the most difficult. But nonetheless, as this writer pointed out, whatever spirituality you're going to follow, it's all going to lead ultimately to the same point. And he said, when you get about two-thirds or three-quarters of the way up the mountain, there is only one path that takes you to the top. And that's the path that St. Teresa lays out for us. So it's the clearest, it's the quickest, there's just nothing better. So there are great saints that have written a lot about prayer, St. Francis de Sales, and so many of the saints that have written so much, but there's no one who can compare with St. Teresa. So read her stuff, but don't just read her. Do what she tells you to do. Get in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Get inside. Begin working deeper and deeper and deeper, and seek that perfect union with Jesus Christ.